Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:31 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 13th. Well, stock markets pulled back today. Gold was weaker. Stock markets weren't down that much, though. And there was some news on the vaccine front as well, because both Eli Lilly and Johnson & Johnson have paused their initiatives. Well, that's been positive for Zoom Media. It was one of the leading advancers in here today. It still boggles the mind that a share can do this well by providing what is effectively a subpar type of service. When I look at the kind of service that an app, of course not listed, like Discord provides to gamers, and compare that to what Zoom Media provides, then I just can't see how the share is doing so well. But it is doing well, and it's on the cusp of breaking higher in here again. Well, it's obviously a share that will continue to do well as long as we have the lockdowns, but it's unlikely to do well subsequently. There are lots of different competitors. I was on another Zoom call last night with my daughter's school, and the video quality was incredibly jerky, and it's not like I have a slow internet connection, but it just was painful to engage on it. One thing that I thought, though, was particularly relevant is that Nvidia has now brought out new video compression software, which has a remarkable effect on the quality of video for video calls, and it can do it using less bandwidth and less memory. So that's an additional an additional arrow in its quiver that Nvidia is capable of producing these types of solutions that are outside of its conventional business model, and the share continues to rally. When we think about then the outlook for technology, well, the semiconductors index is at a new all-time high, and that is really quite a remarkable performance that we've seen. A reasonably mild consolidation in September in the region of the previous peak, and now it's at all-time highs. We have a short-term overbought condition, but this is still a consistent uptrend. When we then think about the wider stock market, we'd had a very strong day yesterday. It was down today, and Apple released its 5G phone. That was priced in yesterday, gave up some of the advance in here today, but as long as it's holding the $100 area, I don't think anyone's going to be particularly worried about it. Then when we think about companies like Amazon, it's right in the region of its peak from back in early September, so we may get some consolidation in this area. Well, there are a number of factors that are influencing markets and perceptions right now. On the one hand, the narrative relating to the stock market has changed quite considerably over the course of the last 2 weeks, particularly in response to the first presidential debate and what's likely to be the only presidential debate. Well, there is the perception that the Democrats are going to win a clean sweep, and the hubris has increased to such a level that they're assuming victory without anyone having actually cast a vote. So that's obviously something that needs to be watched, because when, particularly in markets, when people assume that there is going to be a strong advance, and when analysts start competing for the most bullish forecast, that's usually a sign that the market has already priced in an awful lot of good news. So we're at a point now, in terms of the way that people are interpreting the political data, that there is ample room for disappointment. And I do think that there are certainly signs out there that need to be taken into account, whether it is the fact that mail-in voting on such an enormous scale is untested, the number of votes that could be disqualified as a result of this massive surge in mail-in voting, that also holds out the prospect that there are going to be problems later. Then we can think about whether those votes are going to make it to the polling places on time, and whether they are counted in an expedient manner. When they are talking about the need to confirm somebody's signature with what they have on their driver's license, and if it doesn't match, that vote gets disqualified. Personally, I know that my signature doesn't seem to be, it's probably not the same any two times I sign it. So just how much software are they going to use, or is this going to be eyeballed? That's a very big question. And it leaves an enormous amount of discretion at the hands of the person counting the votes. So these are obviously potential hiccups that we can anticipate as a result of the US presidential election. But the stock market continues to be firm, and it has been rallying over the course of the last few weeks. So generally speaking, when the stock market is firm heading into the election, then that's usually positive for the incumbent. So the question therefore is, are we going to continue to see a stock market rally over the next 3 weeks? If we do, then I do think that will be supportive of the view that the incumbent will win the election. And that is running quite contrary to the narrative that's evolved over the last 2 weeks. I am rather reminded of what happens with the yield curve spread. Every time, at least in the last 15 years, when the yield curve has become inverted, then people who watch it will say, well, golly, this looks like another example from history that there should be a recession around the corner. And then there's always going to be somebody else that says, well, this time is different, that the conditions are not ideal. And that was exactly what we had in 2005 and 6, and it happened again last year. We had a significant argument in the macro community about whether the inverted yield curve was an efficacious signal back in May of 2019, when the 3-month yield exceeded that of the 10-year. There was a big argument about whether it was efficacious because interest rates were so low. Well, nobody could have predicted the coronavirus, the pandemic, and yet it was a lead indicator for the recession. Well, a rising stock market ahead of a presidential election has got an 87% hit rate since 1928. Usually people tend to doubt the data, and quantitative systems doubt the data when it stops working, usually not before. So we would have to see a significant exception to the rule if the rise in the stock market is pricing in a Biden victory. But we'll see. And so far the stock market remains really quite firm. But with the political events that are going on and the approval process for the Miss Barrett for the Supreme Court, then what we've seen is that the negotiations about a new fiscal stimulus were cancelled in here today again. So the gold price pulled back on the back of that because of the absence of additional stimulative measures. Every time it looks like there's going to be new stimulus, the gold price rallies, and every time they call off the negotiations, the gold price pulls back. And it works exactly the other way around with the dollar. So the dollar was strong in here today, and at least bouncing from around the level it did towards the end of September, but it is back inside the range. So it would need to follow through on the upside in a significant manner in order to confirm that we have more than very, very short-term strength coming through in here. What happens in terms of US presidential election is obviously going to have an impact on the wider market. But the bigger question is about liquidity. Are we going to see the Federal Reserve step in and begin to print more money? Because they have been absent from the market since May. So the pace with which M2 is rising is really rather modest. In fact, it's very similar in terms of the pace at which it's increasing to what we had before the pandemic. So I think it is reasonable to assume today that the Federal Reserve is not stimulating. At the same time, the USA has got a deficit in the region of about 17% of GDP. Part of that is the current account deficit, and the rest of it is the budget balance. Well, it's the biggest in the world, so it is hard to make a medium-term dollar bullish argument as long as this situation persists. Well, when we then think about, well, what can we anticipate from the next administration? Well, it's quite likely that regardless of what the result is from the election, there's going to be additional stimulative measures. That's likely to confirm the medium-term bull market in gold, the medium-term bear market in the dollar. Eventually, we're going to have to see these deficits brought back under control. Now, that's unlikely to happen anytime soon. It's certainly unlikely until we see that growth has not only recovered back to where it was at the beginning of 2020, but also to exceed it. So it's quite likely that the onus of responsibility for doing that will fall on government, and we are going to see additional stimulative measures. And they're going to continue doing that until there is clear evidence of inflationary pressures. Then there is the fact that there are still millions of people that are unemployed. That is a global phenomenon, and we're likely to see that the commodity complex does better. Now, the CCI was in negative territory today, but less than a point down. It looks like a mild consolidation around the 400-point level, and primed for additional upside. When we look at the Baltic Dry Index, it has pulled back from the 2000 level. In order to clearly confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment, it's going to have to sustain a move above this level. But certainly prices have firmed quite considerably over the course of the last 6 months. China, having been really quite firm yesterday, paused in here today, and but still looks like it is going to continue to rally from here. The Bank of Japan is not ready to introduce a digital currency just yet, but they are looking at trialing a digital currency. There was also news in here today about the fact that COVID-19 can survive on banknotes for about a month. We don't have any evidence that people are in fact catching the virus from handling banknotes, but there is certainly a war on cash. There is a clear determination by central banks that they want to control the money supply, and a digital currency makes that a lot easier. Not only do they have a physical record of every dollar, pound, euro, yen, or franc that gets moved around, or what people earn and spend and how they spend it, but they have unlimited access to the money supply and how to further increase it. In other words, how can they devalue the currency in a stealth mode? And there is obviously the potential as well that if they get truly desperate and are really intent on creating inflation again, well, they could do extraordinary things with a digital currency that is impossible with a paper currency. The one that springs to mind that would be really extremely easy to perform with a digital currency would be simply to put a time limit on how valuable your digital currency is before it expires, in a use it or lose it phenomenon. That would immediately create demand for physical assets that cannot simply have a or cannot easily at least have a time limit put on ownership. Well, we are heading in these types of directions. there is a clear determination by central banks to explore digital currencies. Now, whether that is going to be Bitcoin or not remains very much open to question. Bitcoin is coming back up towards that 12,000 level. It was in negative territory in here today. When we then think about the Ethereum price, and sorry, I just forgot the ticker for a second. It has been outperforming over the course of the last 8 or 9 months, and it is also firming from the upper side of the underlying trading range. At least Ethereum has more of a first step above the base characteristic than Bitcoin does at present. So we are in a recovery scenario for these assets. When we start to think about, well, what is the world going to look like after the coronavirus? I continue to think we're at the peak of hysteria in terms of how the market is viewing the risk. But it's going to be a while until we get past the peak. And we're starting to see that trade on a global basis is improving, that commodity prices are firming up. That's as true of the commodity complex as it is of the industrial resources. Corn prices are right back at the $4 level. They failed around this area on multiple occasions since 2014, so this is the do-or-die moment. One thing that I think is also relevant is that lumber prices have been coming back down, having surged higher in the immediate aftermath of the pandemic. They have given up not quite half of the advance, but it's certainly a very significant pullback. I do think that we are likely to see a great deal of home building, and there is going to be a clear wish to try and placate the younger generations who have been burdened with a great deal of debt and have not seen their wages rising like other generations have. And the big question, and it has not been answered, is when are these young people going to start voting? Because they have not turned up in significant numbers in previous elections. Well, when the millennial generation and the Generation Z actually turn up and vote, then that's when we're going to see political change. What we've certainly seen in the UK, and we've seen with the last election in the USA, was that it was the majority of people who in fact voted were elderly people, and they carried the day, and they were able to exert greater influence than the size of their demographic necessarily meant was possible. The only possible way that that is going to change is if younger people get up and start voting, and they are willing to go out and protest. And certainly there's a lot of activity on social media, but it requires a physical action to go off and vote. And so far, young people haven't been particularly effective at doing that. So that represents the big uncertainty for elections everywhere, because unless you get people actually participating in democracy, then they're not going to get the change that they're animating for. Of course, the biggest democracy in the world is India, and the Nifty index is right in the region of the peak from earlier this year. Inflationary pressures are starting to pick up, and the rupee was a little weaker in here today, but it is so far holding this move stronger than the 200-day moving average. India is courting companies like Apple to try and build future iPhones. It's holding out the prospect of growth within its high population young market, but India is in the position that more than half its population is younger than 25, and it has no choice but to create jobs and a path to a middle class lifestyle for those people. Otherwise, they're looking at revolution, and I think they understand that better than anybody. Well, obviously, with a large young population, That is something that is very pressing for emerging markets. I think that next year emerging markets are going to do better for the simple reason that the medium-term outlook for the dollar does not look positive. And then there's the clear potential that they're going to be able to benefit from a growth dividend on the back of their strong demographics and continued demand for just about everything. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.